So the main result of the paper I will talk about is the proof, formally is the proof of integrality of instanton numbers for quintic and for other Calabi-Yau threefolds. By itself this is interesting because the conjecture about the integrality of these numbers was made 15 years ago and was not proved for this 15 years. I think that really the main interest of our work is the fact that we, the method that we use, really we consider a periodic analog of P model, and we work with this periodic analog of P model. We give an expression of instanton numbers of what is called Frobenius map, and if I have time, I will say a little bit about possibility of extension of our methods to Gapakumer-Waffe invariants. So I believe that main message is as follows. So that really one can use this periodic methods to answer questions arising in standard approaches to at least the topological sigma model, but I hope that in a much more general situation. So that's and this is this may lead to some really powerful methods, for example, to calculation of Gapakumer-Waffe invariants. But right now we have only restricted success in this business. So I would like to stress that really the relation of the topological sigma models to number theory was clear from the very beginning, because Picard-Fuchs equations that are instrumental in the study of the model, they are really they appear also in number theory in the analysis of zeta functions of over finite fields. In this, there were recent work in this direction by Candela's group. This is an interesting work, but I would like to say that this is in a little bit different direction. Because what I am trying to do, what we are trying to do, we are trying to apply this periodic methods to standard questions. What they are trying to do, they are trying to generalize, to formulate what they call the arithmetic mirror conjecture, and to look at corresponding questions, to look at questions in number theory that are related to more standard stuff. So, but of course, these two directions are related in some way. So, the first thing that I should say is, I should remind that in mirror symmetry we can relate a model calculating the number of holomorphic curves on symplectic manifold to B model, which is completely holomorphic in a sense. You can this Gromov-Witten invariance that appear in this business of calculating the number of holomorphic curves are in generally fractional numbers. They are not integers because they are defined by means of integration over the moduli space of curves in this orbifold. But there are some numbers that conjecturally are integers. What I would like to do, I would like to sketch the proof of integrality of these numbers. I would like to say, first of all, that I will try to hide all difficulties that are here in the mathematical side of the story. So really, this is all this work is based on very difficult mathematics, I should say that so there are three papers and three authors of the papers that I am talking about, and only one of them is an expert who understands every subtlety. What I would like to do, I would like to explain something that can be that is understandable for physicists, that really can be explained in a very simple way. In some sense, I will give a proof. But you should be aware that this is not really a mathematical proof. However, the mathematical proof does exist. What is the starting point? We are starting with this formula. In B model, there is formula relating what is called Yukawa coupling to these numbers that are called instanton numbers. Really, this I do not want to explain the origin of this formula. This is simply summation. I would like to say that this simply it arises from summation over multiple coverings of curves. So let us start with this point. There is a very simple lemma. I do not want to say number theoretical, better to say arithmetical lemma, that can be explained to a high school student. This lemma is as follows. So this, remember, this is something appearing in this Yukawa coupling formula. Now I decompose this stuff in power series with respect to Q. And the statement is that these numbers ng that have the sense of instanton numbers, they are integer if and only if the difference between m of kp minus mk is divisible by some power of p for every prime p and every k. This should be n instead of m. This condition of integrality of numbers n in terms of numbers m. And this is a very simple statement.
Is this completely obvious?
Excuse me?
Is this completely obvious?
I will give this proof. It's not completely obvious. But still, the proof is not difficult. So, look at this formula. So first of all, from this relation between mk and n that I have written, you can rewrite this in the following form, that mk is a sum of nd multiplied by d cube, and the sum runs over all the divisors of k. That is more or less obvious. You decompose this denominator in power series, and you get this formula. So you have this formula for m in terms of n. Now, let us represent k as a power of p, where p is a prime number, and some number that is not divisible by p. And then you can calculate this difference, mkp minus mk. And what is this difference? So this difference is the difference of two sums. And most of terms cancel, because kp and k have a lot of common divisors. So really you have in this difference, you should sum of all over all divisors of kp that are not divisors of k. And but these divisors, all of them are divisible by higher power of p. And therefore, you have this divisibility property. So that's, you see that this is, this divisibility of this difference is really, maybe not obvious, but very easy. You can go in opposite direction. This a little bit, it is not harder, but it requires what is called Möbius inversion formula. And I will not go, I will not say anything about this. So, this is this is the first step. Now, what I would like to say, that this simple lemma has an interpretation in terms of periodic numbers, and I would like to remind what does it mean, periodic number. So what are the periodic numbers? How could we obtain the irrational numbers? Irrational numbers are obtained if you take rational numbers, you take completion of rational numbers with respect to standard norm. which is an absolute value of difference, which is an absolute value, excuse me. But there are more norms on possible norms on rational numbers, and there is all these norms are equivalent to one of periodic norms, and these periodic norms are defined as in this slide. The only thing that I would like to say that periodic norm is small if a number is divisible by high power of p. So p to the 10 is much smaller than p to the 5. So you complete this rational numbers with respect to periodic norm. You get periodic numbers. In particular, you can get periodic integer numbers. What does it mean? So you they are series with respect to p, infinite series, and every such series is converging in periodic norm because this p to the n tends to zero in periodic norm when n tends
so
to infinity.
So a's are relatively
so,
prime.
So here you can say that ai are numbers between 0 and p minus 1. Okay, and now a very important and again trivial statement that a rational number is an integer if all corresponding periodic numbers are integers. So every rational number can be considered as periodic number for every p. What does it mean that rational number corresponding periodic numbers is integer? This means that you do not have p in the denominator. But if no prime number is in the denominator, then the rational number is an integer. So I do not need very much of knowledge about periodic numbers at this point, at least. Now, what I would like to do? I would like to reformulate the simple lemma that I explained already, that I proved, in terms of periodic numbers. This will be precisely, this will be not a new lemma, this will be a reformulation. The statement is that the numbers nq defined in terms of this YFQ, of Yukawa coupling, are integers if and only if, for every prime number, there exists a periodic integer series such that the difference between YQ, YFQ, and YFQP is the third logarithmic derivative of this integer guy. And this is precisely the same statement. Why? Look, consider this. What do you know about the difference YQ and Y of Q of P, Q to the P? The coefficients here are differences. MK minus M with index K divided by P.
What happens when K is not divisible by P?
And you get mk if k is not divisible by p. So that's really... So, but this difference is precisely the difference that I have studied. And I know that if k is equal to p alpha, p alpha s, that this difference is divisible by p to the 3 alpha. And this is precisely means that I can represent this stuff as third logarithmic derivative of psi. Because when you take logarithmic derivative, you multiply by the power. But anyway, this is again the reality.
Why is it divisible? It has to be divisible by p to the 3 alpha plus 3.
Because I shifted.
The logarithmic derivative just means that it is equal to sk cubed sk.
So first of all, remember that I wrote in my first transparency, I wrote mkp minus mk minus mk. And here I shifted a little bit the notations. So then I proved the divisibility by p to 3 to the alpha plus 1. Here the shifted to divisibility by p to 3 alpha. And when you have q to the alpha, then and you differentiate.
I'm missing something. Where are you using the fact that the sk are p-adic integers and not just
when I'm using
the coefficients of y are just ordinary integers, right?
So if you
are you thinking of y the coefficients of y, I'm really getting lost. So
okay.
Y is the sum of mk q to the k. Mk are ordinary integers.
Yeah. But you can consider them as p-adic
integers.
Now
you can embed the integers into the p-adic.
Yeah. Okay. I'm consider them as p-adic integers. What does it mean that I'm consider something as p-adic integers? This seems that I consider divisibility only by p.
Yeah.
So. And this is precisely what I have.
Where are you using the fact in your proof that the sk's are p-adic integers?
Because if I divide a number by something of the form p to the n multiplied by something, and in the numerator I have p to the n. Then p to the n cancel, and this doesn't violate p-adic integrability, and division by s, which doesn't have p as divisor, also doesn't violate p-adic integrability. So the main thing is that when I divide. P-adic number by I can divide p-adic integer by something that is relatively prime with p, and it remains an integer.
Okay, that's clear.
So in this moment I use this. Could I go ahead?
I guess so. I'm missing something that always concerns me.
So, but okay. What did I say is some reformulation of simple lemma. But what is important that this reformulation can be reformulated once again, simply using another word. Namely, there is this word is Frobenius map. What is Frobenius?
You changed the nature of Q now.
Now
you're taking Q now to be in a finite field of characters.
No. What I am saying, so that there is a Frobenius map, and what is known about Frobenius map, when they take Q to the P, this is an automorphism of a field of characteristic P. But what is important, that you can consider Frobenius map also on periodic numbers. And on periodic numbers, it is not an automorphism. Still, this is a map. And then, it's a map of numbers, and therefore this is a map on functions.
I'm getting lost. Is Q a formal variable, or is it in a finite field of characteristic P?
No, it's a periodic variable. This is a periodic number.
Q is a periodic number?
Here I take Q as a periodic number, periodic variable. I also can take the takes to the P.
Here is this Q is a different Q from what it was in the generating.
Not really.
No.
That's my question.
So what I'm saying, that I can consider this map, Frobenius map, on functions of depending on periodic numbers. And now I reformulate this lemma once again. What is said here, that y minus phi star of y is the third logarithmic derivative of integer function psi, and integer periodic function psi. So really what I am doing here, I am considering here y, which was a function of Q, which was a power series of Q with respect to Q. But it has integer coefficients. It is well known that coefficients coefficients mk are integers. So therefore, I can put Q as a periodic number here. Why not?
What if I take Q to be 1 over P, then the series doesn't converge?
So,
in the periodic
number? So, if
Q to just be a formal variable.
So, Q is, really what, so what is...
If I took Q equals 1 over P, that's a periodic number, and then I think it doesn't make sense. But if Q is a formal variable, then...
Yes, so you can take formal variables. Okay. So what did I do at this moment? I simply formulated some simple lemmas. But now I would like to recall something about B model. So I do not think that I am able to explain in detail this B-model stuff, but I believe that this is unnecessary. The only thing that I would like to say that instead of Picard-Fuchs equations, mathematicians can use term Gauss-Manning connection. This is So what? So, but anyway, so this is what do I have? I have a moduli space of complex structures. I have cohomology, and I have flat connection on the bundle of cohomology, and I consider three-dimensional cohomology if I take Calabi-Yau threefold. So, and now I would like to recall some facts that are well known, that are borrowed from a book. I will talk about the case of a quintic, but this is really not a real restriction. Really, what I am talking about is can be applied to the case when moduli space of complex structures of Calabi-Yau threefold is one-dimensional. But we know generalization to the case when moduli space of complex structures is multidimensional. So the restriction that I impose are only for simplicity of explanation. So what do I have? I have this, it is well known that one can find a canonical coordinate on M, and one can find a symplectic basis in three-dimensional cohomology. Three-dimensional cohomology is a four-dimensional space here. You have H3, 0, which is one-dimensional, and this is the cohomology when you have this Calabi-Yau form as representative, then H2-1, H1-2, and H0-3. So you can take symplectic basis. That this is for given choice of complex structure, of course. This Hodge decomposition has sense when you have complex structure. You can take this, and then you can take Gauss-Manning connection that is moving the cohomology around this moduli space, and it can be written this form. This Y of Q is precisely this Yukawa coupling that appears, that appeared already. You have these two filtrations in your business. Namely, you have this Hodge structure, Hodge filtration that I mentioned already, that corresponds to choice of complex structure. And you have what is called weight filtration. What is weight filtration? It is related to monodromy. In general case, we assume that Q equal to zero corresponds to what is called maximal unipotent boundary point in this, in the moduli space. Definitely I cannot explain in detail what happens here. This is this, and The final statement that I need is that Y of Q is a Q series with integer coefficients.
Isn't that what you were trying to explain?
So? Excuse me?
Any question? What you're trying to explain?
No.
Okay, why?
I'm not trying to explain. I will give a reference to a book. You can. This.
You mean from the just from the answer?
So? No.
Okay.
No. This is for.
Why is?
So the reference. One of possible references is Cox and Katz's book.
Is what?
Cox and Katz's book. That's.
I know that you can write it down, but I mean, I thought you're trying to explain why.
No, I'm not trying. That's a known fact.
Okay.
I'm confused about some definition here. You're assuming that script M is one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Complex one-dimensional.
Yeah, yeah.
And you use Q as a coordinate.
Yeah.
On M.
Yeah.
So I don't understand what this unipotent bound, again, Q is a complex coordinate or a pi-adic coordinate?
No, nothing pi-adic. Nothing pi-adic at this moment.
So I don't understand what you mean by it being a coordinate surrounding a unipotent boundary point of the space M. I don't know what that phrase means.
Oh, so this is... what I am saying that Q equal to zero is a singular point, and so that's so you have a monodromy around this point, and the requirement is on the form of this monodromy.
I mean, so you're saying Q as a coordinate means something different than the usual definition of coordinate.
No.
It's a cone. Riemann sphere. It's divided by Z5, but there's a complex Q plane, and Q equals zero is the place where the complex structure degenerates.
Oh, I'm happy about that, but okay. I don't know what you mean by coordinate.
Oh no! So this is not coordinate. So this is your characterization doesn't go by means of your coordinate is really only valid for Q, which is not equal to zero. That's what you have in mind. So probably I should say this.
I'm not understanding. You're worried about taking the logarithm of Q?
Yes. You can't take logarithm of Q.
It's just not a coordinate.
Okay.
I call it something else, but it's not a coordinate.
Okay. For me,
coordination.
Okay. So. Okay, so this is something that I really borrowed from a book. But now, I would like to say that that all the stuff remains valid in periodic setting, and this is something that should be proven, and this is a difficult part. So I cannot see. Of course, what I could say.
The relationship between Q and what is usually taken as the complex coordinate psi is pretty transcendental, right? So which one? If you write the as the sum of the Fermat form plus 5 psi times the product of the relation of psi to Q is rather transcendental.
This is what's called mirror map, yeah?
Yeah.
This mirror map has a good arithmetic properties. It is, there is a theorem about integrality of mirror map. This theorem was proved by Lian and Yao in for Quintic, and recently one of us.
So what are you saying? So if psi is algebraic, you're saying that Q is algebraic. Is that what you're saying? What is the arithmetic property of mirror map?
So okay, but, so let me. What I'm saying is the following.
You're going to consider this over Z or over ZP.
Yeah.
Are you considering Q over Q?
But all the statements 1 to 4 were on the mirror side. They were just about.
Everything was for B model side. Everything was for B model side.
Yeah, so you can just take the whole structure and take it
over. What I'm saying is the following thing. That Hodge, the fact that about existence of Hodge structure on cohomology, it is true also in theoretic setting. And this is a difficult part of the story. That's so. This is something really that I cannot explain.
So instead of taking a filtration of a Q vector space, you're taking a filtration of a QP vector space, a family of filtration.
What is QP? Yeah.
Are you saying that it's irrelevant what the arithmetic properties of psi are?
Well, I'm just saying that it's a self-contained mathematical question to study variation of our structure over periodic numbers, and
well,
I understand that. Right. So I don't know how we're going to go from there to back to our.
Okay, but when you consider the Calabi-Yau over Z, I was assuming that we were going to take the psi to be integer. Is that just wrong? What do you mean by the Calabi-Yau over Z? Normally, if you said you were going to talk about the Calabi-Yau the quintic over Z, I would have said let's make 5 psi be an integer.
Okay,
that's
right. So probably, yeah, that makes sense. Right. But that's not
what he's doing. No.
Okay,
go on.
So, what
I'm saying is. I'm really confused. So, what's happening? Are you taking the side? I mean, what do you mean by saying that Calabi-Yau is defined over integers? I'm reiterating Greg's question. So, can you just clarify?
I'm saying that, as Greg said, you can take integer coefficients there. But if you can take integer coefficients, you can take coefficients from any ring. That's okay. And in particular, you can take coefficients as periodic numbers or integer periodic numbers. And that's what happens.
Coefficients for cohomology?
Coefficients
everywhere.
You can do the this, so really, what I would like to say that something
relationship between the complex the parameters in the equation for the Calabi-Yau and the periods is very complicated, right? So taking one to be integer is not at all the same as taking the other to be integer or rational or even algebraic.
Yeah,
which one are you doing?
Okay. So this is the situation here, I suppose. In the stuff that I said, I try to hide as much as possible. So what should I do here? Really, the right thing is consider what is called crystalline cohomology. Crystalline cohomology. Nevertheless, you can work with the RAM cohomology in this business if everything is non-singular. What is known that you in this if you have this picture, you can consider, you can construct an analog of Hodge structures. That's the Lin works, the Lin's work, an old one. This is the Hodge structures that I'm using. That's not simple. But I'm not able to explain all everything here. Moreover, I would like to say that. But what I can do? So first of all, there is a highly non-trivial theorem that I should formulate, that all these properties that I formulated for complex numbers are valid in periodic setting. That's the only thing that you should do. You should consider this y of q is as a function with periodic coefficients and not with integer coefficients. But you can do this. Every integer number is a periodic integer. So now there exists another thing that is really important here, and that in periodic theory there exists an additional symmetry, what is called Frobenius map. And this map, map is defined as q to the q to the p, and it can be lifted to homomorphism on cohomology of groups of corresponding critics. So, and q here is considered a periodic integer, and cohomology are taking these coefficients, again periodic integers. And what is possible is to express instanton numbers in terms of this map, assuming that p is greater than 3.
One would have expected something degenerate to happen when p is 5.
I don't think that that in this statement it does appear. I know that there is singularity there, but not in this statement. Okay. So, and moreover, the statement here is. Is as follows, that you can calculate instanton numbers in terms of Frobenius map and to prove prove integrality of them. And vice versa, you can calculate the Frobenius map in terms of instanton numbers. These two problems are equivalent. So, and I will try to explain the proof. Or better to say, the part of the proof that can be explained in several minutes. So, what is important? First of all, Frobenius map, it preserves what is called weight filtration. And this is obvious because it commutes with monodromy. And weight filtration was defined in terms of monodromy. But it doesn't preserve the Hodge filtration. But it has some, there is some divisibility property. If that is written here, so if you apply Frobenius to FS, then the result will be divisible by P to the S. Then Frobenius map is compatible with symplectic structure, and it's compatible with Gauss-Manning connection. They commute up to the factor of P.
Sorry, probably we don't know, we don't need to know much about this crystalline cohomology, but can you just say where Q leads and what is the Gauss-Manning connection and that setup?
That is Gauss-Manning, so you have a bundle of these cohomologies.
Good.
And in this Gauss-Manning is a connection on this bundle. It's a flat connection on this bundle.
I think we know the theory over the complex numbers, but
Sergei
is asking us.
Yeah, that's
how you formalize it so you can do it over the PI.
Yeah.
What is the base and what is the fiber?
The same stuff as was before, but instead of complex numbers, you are talking about periodics.
ZP, QP, QL. What are the options? So, are many options? Sure.
I believe that any option will work here. Let's say this.
So how about QP versus QL, where L is relatively prime?
Oh, QP, QP or CP or omega, what also, but omega, what do they want?
So Q is now a ZP value?
What?
Are these vector spaces over QP or over the...
This is not finite characteristic. What I'm considering is over ZP. ZP is CP is periodic, integer periodic numbers.
So the modules over ZP.
So? If you would like to consider over QP, this Frobenius
What about the base? I mean, the guy where the variable Q takes values, so is it also QP valued or?
ZP valued.
And then what is the Gauss-Manning connection over?
You can explain this. Maybe we'll discuss this later. So we do not know very much about Frobenius map, but it is sufficient for the calculation. So look, what happens here? First of all, the matrix of Frobenius map is triangular. It is triangular because it preserves the weight filtration. Then it is compatible with symplectic form. And from this compatibility, you get some relations for these coefficients. So you have four coefficients that are free. So now, what could you do? You have the formulas from Gauss for Gauss connection, and you have formula for Frobenius. And Frobenius commutes this Gauss connection, up to a factor of p. And you can use this commutativity to obtain some relations. And the first relation that you obtain gives you that delta of M12 is zero. This means that M12 is a constant. And again, this is one can prove that this constant vanishes. But this is not easy proof.
So what is delta, or is it?
So delta is a logarithmic derivative.
Or what is it?
Over Q.
So
now,
Q is EP value, right?
So?
But Q is EP value, right? So what
yeah. is? But as you consider here, better to talk not about ZP valued Q, but you should talk about Q as a formal parameter. Then it is much easier to survive. The coefficients are ZP valued. If Q considers formal, so?
But then crystalline homology and this other stuff will not survive.
Excuse me?
Well, previously you told us that it's crucial to have Q to be ZP valued, or
no ZP. But what is crucial? The only thing is crucial that you take cohomology in coefficients with ZP. That's crucial. The parameter Q is better to consider it as a formal parameter. But if you would like to take a value of it, you should take an integer periodic number as it. So, okay. But anyway, you can apply. You have four. four-dimensional space, four basic vectors. You apply Frobenius and Gauss-Manning connection in two different orders, and you consider and you get some equations. And one of these so probably I shouldn't explain. This is a trivial arithmetic calculation. So one of the consequences of these calculations is that the difference that you between y of q and y of qp that we are interested in is the derivative, logarithmic derivative of m to 3. At M23 is logarithmic derivative of M13 up to a sign. And then you go one step ahead.
But what is E0 in the first equation?
Excuse me?
What is E0 in the first
equation? E0 is one of the basic vectors. So we have four vectors in the basis. E0, E1.
So where does it take values? Where is it
valued? E zero is an element of cohomology.
So it is ZP value. Right?
So
it is ZP value.
It is a vector of ZP of vector space of ZP module.
Right. So what is E zero multiplied by M12? Where does that take value?
Oh, that's this. So really, E0 is a function of Q. It's a formal power series with respect to Q.
So it is EP brackets Q.
So?
Is it or is it not? So E0 is ZP brackets Q, or?
That's. Okay, so but anyway, after some calculations, that can be explained easily, you get an equation of this kind, that y of qp minus y of q is the third derivative of one of matrix elements of this Frobenius maps. And you got the statement that I formulated, that instanton numbers are periodic numbers if the prime number, if periodic are periodic integers, are if the prime number is greater than 3. So, but I would say that this is really not the main thing, as I said. The main thing is just the very fact that you can express instanton numbers in terms of Frobenius map. So, I have two more transparencies. They are about incomplete results about Gapakumar-Waffe invariants. So really, what do we have is that instanton numbers are really genus zero Gapakumar-Waffe invariants. So it is tempting to try to repeat this stuff for every genus. And something can be said about this, namely, what you can see in this transparency is the generalization of the basic lemma. The basic lemma is that integrality of Gapakumar-Waffe of instanton numbers can be expressed in terms of Frobenius map. And the generalization of basic lemma is here. Really you can express this integrality of condition for Gapakumar-Waffe invariants in terms of integrality of this expression or this expression. Here should be Zp. So this is the first step. And a very suggestive step. And so you can really try to repeat the whole picture. So the main technical tool in this proof that I gave was this business of Hodge structures in arithmetic geometry that is well developed. But
just trying to prove it for genus zero, or all genus?
No, for genus zero is already, for genus zero is this Gapakumar-Waffe invariants are instanton numbers that I talked about.
For the quintet?
No, by definition, so excuse me.
Yeah.
I didn't get. What is the question?
What are you trying to prove? That the Gopakumarvaf invariants are integers for all spin, or just for spin zero?
I'm trying to prove that all Gopakumarvaf invariants are integers.
But the variation of Hodge structures applies to the genus zero.
Yeah.
Gromov-Witten invariants.
Yeah.
That doesn't capture all of the the higher genus Gromov-Witten invariants or all of the Gromov-Witten invariants.
Of course. Of course. This is precisely what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is that...
You're saying that you're applying the same techniques, and I'm saying that doesn't capture all the
Let me continue for a moment. Okay? So, in this genus zero case, there was well developed technique of variation of Hodge structures that was used in the proof. If you work with general genus, this technique is definitely is not sufficient, and you need something else. Could be a starting point to this generalization of this technique. So for arbitrary genus case, you should work in the framework of what is called the ground-independent string theory, which was suggested by Witten on the base of holomorphic anomaly equations. Introduce a Hilbert space of states corresponding to homology, and your partition function lives in this Hilbert space. What I would like to say, what is written here, is a short explanation of this Witten's picture. What I would like to add to this picture is that in the case of in the PID case, you can generalize this picture in some way. So you can define some space of states corresponding to homology, and you can think that partition function can be interpreted in corresponding space of states, and you can conjecture you can see that Frobenius map acts on this space of states, and you can conjecture this partition function is a state which is invariant with respect to Frobenius. At this moment, this is only a conjecture, and I would like to stop with this conjecture.
Gromov-Witten invariants are integer for p greater than 3 instant one numbers. So you extended it to chaotic context, applied this sophisticated technique of crystalline cohomology, and then the end result was that for p greater than 3, all these guys are integer. Yeah. So it didn't seem to depend on the fact that we were working with quintic as opposed to any other one-dimensional Calabi-Yau, whose h to 1 is equal to 1.
Yeah. You're right. More or less, it even doesn't depend on dimension 1.
Well, that probably does, because you would have many M1, 2s, etc. I mean, this function.
No. You can go through.
Right, but there'll be just many of them, right?
True, of course. But
so what did you actually prove? Did you prove that all the genus spin 0, Gopakumar, Bapa, and Varanus are integers?
Let's talk about Gromov-Witten business, because we work in Gromov-Witten business, So the proof is that in the what is called instanton numbers that correspond to Gopakumar-Waffe invariants that you mentioned, they are integers. But because nobody knows that Gopakumar-Waffe invariants are related to on this mathematical level, nobody knows how Gopakumar-Waffe invariants are related to instanton numbers.
If you take the you wrote the identity yourself, which says that if you take the genus 0 prepotential, then the integer numbers are the things that multiply the trilogarithms. The trilogarithms, the expanded trilogarithms. The
I talked about Yukawa's, so that's
Are you claiming to have proven that those coefficients are always integers for Kalman?
Yeah.
Well, Yukawa p equals 2 and 3, right? You need also the cases p equals 2 and p equal to 2, p equal to 3.
I didn't. Only for p greater than 3. So really, it's one can say a little bit more. Really, the denominator, we cannot exclude that 2 is in the denominator, but only this, only 2 squared can be there.
I have a comment, which is on many K3 fibered Calabi-Yaus. We know that these are integers, and in fact, they're coefficients of modular forms.
This coefficients, this instanton numbers, what's about Gopakumar-Waffe?
It's the same as the spin 0 Gopakumar-Waffe invariant. They're coefficients of certain modular forms, automorphic forms for SO2, NZ.
But it's for genus 0 only.
Genus 0. Genus 0. Certain families of K3 fibered Calabi-Yaus.
Yes,
we know that. Another comment is that, along the same lines, is that you could probably check your conjecture about the Witten partition function being invariant under Frobenius for the case K3 times T2 times an elliptic curve, because then that's the one case where we actually know this wave function in the quantization. It's simply expressed in terms of the Dedekind data function.
So
that sounds very likely to be invariant under Frobenius.
Would be very nice. This means that you know this Gopakumar-Waffe invariants for all this.
They're trivial. That's how we know them. They're trivial for K3 times T2.
Okay.
Almost trivial. I mean, the wave function is not trivial. It's expressed in terms of the Dedekind data function. Mm-hmm. But all the higher spin Gopakumar-Waffe invariants are 0.
I see. Okay.
Okay. Well, let's thank Albert.